And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we've got some secrets for you. We like to disclose some secrets. This is volume 159. 159 volumes so far of secrets. And boy, what a melange, what a list we've got of things to tell you today. Sometimes they're not just secrets, they're things that have been in the press, but, well, we give them our own little slant, a truthful slant, where the press, being politically correct, lies to you. I want to talk to you today especially about some things going on in our culture, our Jewish culture. That's what we have in America today. It's a Talmudic culture. You know, when I was a young man, we had essentially a Christian culture. Not everybody was Christian. Not everybody did what was right. But it was a Christian culture. We were a Christian nation, so-called. Not anymore. We're a foreign, invaded culture. And our law system, everything from the president of the Supreme Court on down, is basically Jewish, based on the Talmud. Read about the lives of our great founding fathers, and you will see integrity, ethics, for the most part. But read about today's politicians and, well, what do you have? Corruption, lies, deceit. But you see, the reason people love these politicians, the reason they keep being voted into office again and again, the reason Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama are so beloved is that they are wicked just like the people are wicked. The people of America love Obama because he's just like them. They have grown more and more dark, shadowy, sinful, debauched, and just full of the devil. You say, Tex, you're talking about America. You're saying that most Americans are full of the devil? You better believe it. They bought into the Jewish Talmudic culture and society, even our churches. A case in point is this article that I have here in my hand from a London, England newspaper. I hope this has been reported on in America, but maybe not. You judge for yourself. It certainly hasn't been made a big deal of. Okay, I'm going to read it to you because I want you to understand what the world is coming to. And this is even reported in Great Britain, the Mail newspaper, October 27th, 2009. Headline says, "Girl 15 gang raped outside school dance while witnesses film horror attack. Girl 15 years of age gang raped outside a school dance while witnesses filmed the horror attack." It says, "The brutal gang rape of a teenager while up to a dozen people watched and filmed the assault on mobile phones has been described as, quote, something out of a horror movie by shocked U.S. police. The 15-year-old victim was found unconscious after a terrifying assault and being beaten on the grounds of a school in Richmond, California." That's in Northern California. "Police said she had been raped by up to six people in an ordeal lasting 2.5 hours before being beaten and left for dead. What has shocked police in Richmond, California, is that as many as 12 others, in other words, 18 people at least in all, watched the attack take place and did nothing to help, didn't even call the cops. In fact, they were so overjoyed and happy with what they were seeing, they filmed it on their cell phones." These cell phones, you don't have video cams in them now. Can capture film. Up to six young men engaged in the gang rape of this 15-year-old girl, and 18 people were on hand, and all the others just laughed and hoorahed and filmed it all on their little telephones. And meanwhile, the police are now checking YouTube and Facebook and MySpace and all these social web pages to see whether the film is going out across the internet. So these monsters, these horrible, evil kids filmed the sexual assault and the beating, the senseless beating of a poor 15-year-old girl. And to think they would then go put it on TV for everybody's pleasure and enjoyment across the world. This just gets worse and worse the more you dig into it, says Lieutenant Mark Gagan of the Richmond, California Police. It was like a horror movie after we looked at all the evidence. I cannot believe, said the policeman, that not one single person felt compelled to help the girl. The assault took place after the student left a dance at her school and was waiting outside the auditorium to be picked up by her father. Police said she met a former student who convinced her to walk over to a courtyard away from the school grounds. She was then encouraged to drink alcohol, and the assault began. 15 people or more crowded around to watch, with others joining in. When police finally arrived after getting an anonymous tip-off, they found all the crowd gone and the victim semi-naked and unconscious under a bench. She had been severely beaten and was flown by air ambulance to a hospital where she is said to be in serious but stable condition. The police lieutenant Mark Gagan said, quote, she was raped, beaten, robbed, and dehumanized by the suspects and by many other people who were obviously okay with it enough that they would film it. Wow. Now, here's one of the reasons why it may not be reported in the Washington Post or on Fox News or on CNN. One of the assailants, the rapist already arrested, is the 19-year-old Manuel Ortega. Ah, yes. Hispanics. Mexicans. Probably illegal alien families. And they raped this girl. Well, nobody wants, it's politically incorrect to report that blacks or Mexicans raped somebody, isn't it? Then we have this, friends. I'm telling you, I pray to Jesus right now that God will strike these young people dead if they do not repent of this horrible crime they've committed. And this next man, I pray that God will strike him dead if he does not repent. Notice I said, if he does not repent, I pray that God will take him away from this earth. These people are unfit to live. Take them on to hell, Lord. Give them a chance to repent. I ask the Holy Spirit to go to these people, to press on them the magnitude of their horrible crimes. But if they repent not, don't leave them on this earth to commit more crimes. Please, Jesus. Listen to this. Here's another internet story for you. Larry David pisses on picture of Jesus. Who's Larry David? Well, he was the producer of the award-winning number one rated television show, Seinfeld. Larry David is, of course, Jewish. All the stars of the show, Jerry Seinfeld, the Dreyfus girl, Kramer, the guy that played Kramer, the guy that played, you know, Costanza, all four of the so-called comedians on Seinfeld were Jews. And the producer of Seinfeld program was Larry David, a Jew. And in one segment of a new show on HBO, home box office, that Larry David is producer of and the actor in, he's the main actor or star of, it's called Curb Your Enthusiasm, an HBO original series. At one point in the show, Larry David goes to the bathroom in the home of a Catholic person and splatters urine on a picture of Jesus. He doesn't clean it off. Then a Catholic woman goes to the bathroom, sees the picture, and concludes that the picture of Jesus is crying. Jesus is crying, when really it's a splatter of urine on his face. She then summons her equally stupid mother, I'm reading here from this news report, and the two of them fall on their knees in prayer, praying to the picture of Jesus because it has the urine on it, and they think it's actually crying. When David and Jerry Seinfeld, playing himself, are asked if they ever experienced a miracle themselves, Larry David answers, quote, "Every erection is a miracle." They make fun of people praying. They make fun of what these poor, I know they're silly, but they're pious. They believe. They're praying, you know, because this picture seems to be, Jesus seems to be crying. So they're making fun, splattering urine on a picture of Jesus. Then making fun of the people as they're praying to the picture. And then ask if they've ever seen a miracle. Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David say, yeah, every erection. In other words, every time a man, well, goodness, this is America today. But wait, there's, you know, this not only happened in the United States, we go back to the Mail newspaper, M-A-I-L, October 28, 2009. Listen to this one. Schoolgirl, again, another girl, not the same one, 15 years old, from St. Neots, Cambridgeshire in England, watches in horror as a hoodie is a young youth who wears a hood over their, you know, like a pullover sweatshirt with a little hood over the head, as hoodie stamps on her tiny puppy's head and kills it. This is from the Daily Mail reporter now. It says, a teenage girl looked on in horror as a teenage boy wearing a hoodie killed her 10-week-old puppy by stamping on its head. April Alderton, 15, was carrying her new puppy, a Jack Russell called Sandy, in a public park when she put the dog down on the ground for a few seconds. Three teenage boys came walking up wearing dark jeans and hooded tops. One of them lashed out with his boot and stamped on the head of the little dog. The puppy died from a fractured skull. The three youths ran off laughing. Friends, this is the kind of society we have around the world today. England used to be a Christian nation. America used to be a Christian nation. Now we have gangs of thugs raping a young girl and the other kids videotaping it on their cell phone so they can put it on the internet. And no one even bothers to call police. They leave the girl gang raped, beaten, senseless, thinking she was dead. No conscience, no empathy, no sympathy. Nothing but devils inside these people. And then who would walk up, lash out, and stamp the head of a little puppy? A monster, a Jeffrey Dahmer type, a Charles Manson or worse. And we have millions of these people all over America today, and girl gangs and bullying and evil people. I'm sick and tired of them. I'm sick and tired of them. I was telling Wanda last night about this couple of these stories, and she was just aghast. She says, I'm glad I'm an older person so Jesus can take me home. It couldn't get any worse. And you know what, friends? I am too. I pray that Jesus will take me home before it gets any worse than this. But I tell you what, until Jesus chooses, I'm going to be right here fighting for truth. I'm going to be right here exposing this evil doing. Now, some people say, Tex, why do you report everything bad? Well, send me some good news. I'll report it too, maybe. Who knows? It's just that the world is so full of badness. The world is so full of evil. And it's so twisted that that dope head singer-entertainer Michael Jackson ran around singing, I'm bad, which supposedly meant I'm good. They twist things so much that even the language is Orwellian and reversed. In a satanic manner. Well, you want to see where evil is more incarnate than anywhere in the world. It's Jerusalem. It's Israel. It's Tel Aviv. It's the nation of Israel with the Jews. That's why I know that Jewish culture has permeated. The Hollywood Jews with their cartoons and their evil movies and their vicious video games have given us, and they're publishing. Yes, the Jews run publishing in New York. Almost every editor in New York and all the big publishing houses has a Jewish name. How do I know? Because I've published books. I have authored books for McGraw-Hill, for Prentice Hall, for Simon & Schuster, for John Wiley Press. I've written books for all the big publishers, and always my editors at the big publishing house in New York were always Jewish. They run the American media, publishing, movies, television, cartoons, comic books, video games. And they're giving us trash, garbage, devil stuff. And it's affecting the minds of our kids. They're becoming the spawn of Satan through this Jewish literature. The Jews have robbed us of our heritage in America. They have. They have. And think of what they've done to the Palestinians. Here's a new report from the Guardian newspaper. You don't hear about this stuff in American newspapers. This is the Guardian out of England. They're talking about the United Nations commissioner named Goldstone. And he just put out a report after many months of investigating what's been happening in Gaza, a province there in Palestine. And he reported that basically all the war crimes that the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli army, committed against the Palestinians. Massacre of children, boys, girls, old men, women. Even the stealing of their body organs. They kill young Palestinian youth simply to harvest their organs, their kidney, their heart. Big money in that, harvesting people's organs. They have been raping Palestinian girls and little boys. These are monsters. And Benjamin Netanyahu, a high-level Freemason, is the chief monster. He's the prime minister of this criminal thug nation called Israel. And now, thank God, Mr. Goldstone of Great Britain, working under the auspices of the United Nations, has put out the Goldstone Report. And guess what? The Israeli leaders are so angry about Mr. Goldstone's report because he's reported that they're just like the Nazis and the commies, or worse. He says, Mr. Goldstone's report says that the Israeli attack on Gaza is an appalling, disproportionate assault on a defenseless civilian population. Get that? An appalling, disproportionate assault on a defenseless civilian population. And Netanyahu is outraged. How dare Mr. Goldstone report our atrocities? And now the Israelis and Netanyahu and the military leaders are afraid to travel overseas because any country in the world can arrest these Israeli gangsters and try them on charges of international war crimes. Just like happened in Nuremberg, the mayor and former prime of Jerusalem, former prime minister Olmert, cannot travel to some countries because he might be arrested. Netanyahu could be arrested. He's a criminal, a war criminal. These people are monsters. Goldstone report is correct. Now, Israel is so angry over the Goldstone report because somebody is finally telling the truth. What has been hidden from Americans, what has been covered up by George W. Bush and Barack Obama and Rahm the Cruel Emanuel is now being shouted from the housetops in some countries because of the Goldstone report. Well, I bet you Goldstone is retaliated against. I bet you his career is finished because he told the truth. Just like Mohammed El-Baradei, head of the International Atomic Energy Commission. He investigated to see if Iran is really building nuclear weapons, and he came out and said no, just last month. Baradei, head of the International Atomic Energy Commission, says there is no evidence whatsoever that Iran is building a nuclear bomb. And then Baradei said something that angered Israel and Rom the Cruel and Barack Obama. He said the only country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons is Israel. And Israel refuses to sign the non-proliferation treaty. Iran has signed it, agreeing not to build nuclear weapons. But Israel refuses to sign it. How can they? Because they have built and they have hundreds of nuclear bombs. First, Israeli spies in the United States, Jewish spies, stole our bomb secrets. And now they're building these horrible, deadly nuclear bombs in the Negev Desert. They're in Israel at their manufacturing plant. The head of the International Atomic Energy Commission says they're the ones that are the criminals. They're the ones that have the atomic bombs. Iran doesn't have any bombs. And yet Israel is threatening the security of Iran, said Baradei. Well, I bet his career's ended. In fact, as I understand it, Baradei is resigning. He's retiring. Friends, after you write a book exposing the Israeli shenanigans or the Jews in the United States, you have to retire. You know, 2 years ago, one of the leading political science professors at the University of Chicago, along with another professor from Harvard University, the JFK School of Government there, wrote a report in which they said the Israeli Jewish lobby is the most powerful lobbying group in America. And basically, they're so evil that they've been able to turn the whole American government against all of the Arabs and everything in all of their lies and everything. I'm sort of paraphrasing it. The Jews were outed, their lobby group, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, the ADL and others, are overly influencing, unduly influencing American policy in the Middle East. That's why we're there fighting three or four wars at once, threatening others because of Israel. Israel wants Americans to fight and die for their wealth, their prosperity in the Middle East. It's true. And Iran doesn't have any weapons. I have a intelligence report. American intelligence has come up with another report saying Israel has no nuclear bombs and is not developing them. Nevertheless, Barack Obama and Rom the Cruel are both threatening Iran. And Israel is saying at any time we might attack Iran. That's our decision, says Netanyahu, the Freemason. Now, Israel is such a thuggish criminal nation that most of their leaders, most of their military and political leaders should go on trial and be put in prison. And that's why now, according to the American, the AFP press, October 21, 2009, listen to this headline. Israel wants international law of war changed. They have violated the international laws of war. They're a criminal nation, and now they want the laws changed, belatedly. It says here, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has instructed his government to draw up proposals to amend the international laws of war after a damning UN report on its war in Gaza. The Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, is now going to the United Nations and saying, your rules are too stiff. We want to change the laws of war so that Israel cannot be indicted. Our people and me cannot be indicted for murder, theft, violence, terrorism. That's right. They're terrorists, the Israelis. Defense Minister Ehud Barak of Israel says, quote, we must give the Israeli army the full backing. Then Netanyahu dismissed the Goldstone report on the Gaza war and vowed that Israel would not give up its attacks on the Palestinians. By the way, Goldstone, I said he was from Britain. Actually, he's from South Africa. He's the leader of this United Nations fact-finding team. and the findings of the Goldstone Report, which found that the Israelis were war criminals, has been forwarded to the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Now, Goldstone has faced a storm of personal attacks, it says here, and chiefly among the Israelis. They're furious at this South African guy. And since they have violated the laws of war, they want the laws of war changed. It'd be like Charlie Manson, you know, after he and his team of insane thugs and druggers killed those people there in California, Sharon Tate and others. Manson would say, well, we need to change the law so that murder is not illegal anymore. Don't put me on trial. Don't indict me for murder. Let's just change the laws. It's like a bank robber saying, well, let's change the law so it's lawful to rob banks after he's robbed several. Talking about Jews and about their lack of morals, get this from CNN, from Cable News Network. Madoff's workplace was rife with cocaine and sex. From New York, a new lawsuit alleges that convicted swindler Bernie Madoff financed a cocaine-fueled work environment and a culture of sexual deviance. Of course. Says here that the investment company of Madoff was known by insiders as the North Pole in reference to the excessive amount of white cocaine powder used in the workplace. They call it the North Pole. There was so much white cocaine powder being sniffed up their noses. And sex parties, cocaine. And Madoff, head of the American Jewish Congress. He had all the Jewish organizations under his control, not control, but he was the monitor, the chairman of the AJC. And you know, the federal government, the United States federal government, the prosecutors, the U.S. attorney, they're still looking for where all those billions are. Meanwhile, a man named Pickhauer was recently found dead. Turned out he had billions of dollars invested with Bernie Madoff. Pickhauer also had a lot to do with these cocaine sex parties, all this criminal activity. He lived both in New York, Pickhauer did, and Palm Beach, California. That's the center of Jewish criminal activity in America. Palm Beach, Miami Beach, and Miami. That whole area. Fort Lauderdale, the whole area, a bunch of Jewish criminals, along with New York and Los Angeles. That's the trio locales of Jewish crime. Pickhauer was found dead. He was found at the bottom of his swimming pool at his mansion. They said perhaps he had a heart attack when he bent over and he fell into the pool and drowned. Ah, yes. He knew where all the money was, Mr. Pickhauer. I know where it's at, too. It's in Israeli banks where Madoff put it. And they're going to keep it there. And guess what, friends? The U.S. Justice Department, Attorney General Eric Holder, and Rahm the Cruel Emanuel, they know where the money is. And it's going to stay in Israel. By the way, during this big economic downturn and crash, the financial crash here in America, in Europe, throughout the world, nations have suffered. But guess what? There is one nation that has been prospering like never before. They didn't have any crash there. Are you wondering what the name of that nation is? I'll spell it for you. Israel. While the American stock market fell over 60%, the Israeli stock market increased in 2008. By 19%. Well, no wonder they've got our billions of dollars from Madoff and all the other Ponzi scheme operators. The Jews stole America's billions. And that's why you're out of a job perhaps today. When I come back, we're going to have many more secrets here on Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. Did you know that across this planet, there has arisen, there has emerged, there has been built an architectural colossus? Buildings, monuments, statues with either secret or even open satanic messages attributed to them. And one category of satanic monuments and buildings is the category of sexual perversions. For example, the Washington Monument. It's built in the form of an Egyptian obelisk, which is literally in the shape of the phallus, that is the male sex organ of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god. Our Washington Monument, 555 feet tall. Multiply that times 12 inches for each foot, and you come to 6,660, 666. And it is actually a monument dedicated to Osiris, the Egyptian sun god, and is a replica or a representation of his male sex organ. And it stands in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And it supposedly commemorates the man that they call the father of our country, George Washington. But there are many more sexual symbols across the world. Did you know that in New York and in two other world capitals, there are other obelisks and they are named Cleopatra's Needle? Cleopatra's Needle? Ah, there's a mystery there. Recently, we published my new video entitled Baal's Shaft. That's the Canaanite fire god, Satan, known as Baal, B-A-A-L. He's also worshipped in Egypt as Osiris, the sun god. But in the Old Testament, the Canaanites call him Baal, the great fire god, the god of fire. And in my video entitled Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle, for 60 minutes, we journey around the world, and especially in the United States, and you will see many other sexual symbols, statues, monuments. You know, most people pass by and in their ignorance know nothing of what's going on. But Satan has actually had his architects and builders erect monuments, entire buildings, in the form of satanic symbols. You need to know about this. Don't be ignorant. The Bible says that God's people perish from lack of knowledge. But the Apostle Paul thankfully said, "For we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil." Get that? For we, that is Christians, are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Friends, let the world at large, I'm sorry for them, they're pitiful, but let them stay in their ignorance because they reject the truth of Jesus Christ. But you don't have to be an ignoramus. You can know these things. That's my job. And I'm just one man, I'm sure, exposing these things, but God has given me a task of doing it. And you have never seen a video like Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. For $30, that takes care of the postage and the shipping. It's $25, $5 add on for shipping and handling. We'll get it right out to you. It's on DVD. We don't have the VHS anymore. Well, you do have a few other titles, but not this one. Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. $30 postpaid. Call us today and order this incredible video. Now, we're open during work hours. That's 8 to 5 Central Standard Time. Actually, 8 to 5:30 usually. Somebody here stays late 30 minutes just to take your phone calls at the ministry. Call us toll-free 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. Overseas, you can call us on our regular line. It's 512-263-9780. You can write to us, send us $30, and put a little note in and say, "Text, send me Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Enclosed $30 in cash or check or money order, cashier's check or whatever. And we'll get it right out to you. Bell Shaft, Cleopatra's Needle. Okay? $30 postpaid for this, wow, informative video. Now, I want to tell you, the subject itself, you know, is revealing. But we don't have any gratuitous sex scenes or anything like that in the video. So don't worry about those things. Okay? Bell Shaft, Cleopatra's Needle, $30 postpaid. By the way, on our website, you'll see this video and many more, including my newest Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the Hidden Plot by the Jewish Cabal to Murder America. Rothschild's Choice. 90 minutes of never before seen information and documentation to go with it. Rothschild's Choice. Again, $30 for that video. Now, you can order all these videos on our website, powerofprophecy.com. Or, again, you can call us on our 1-800 line. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And remember, we need your love gifts. We need your offerings, dear friends. Please, please help us to continue this great mission on behalf of truth. I'm Tex Mars. Now we're going to return to our regular program. We want to start off with a good friend of mine from Glendale, California, Bedros Hajian. He is head of a missionary outreach group there. And I'm going to introduce you to him, and we're going to talk a little bit about some things going on across the world and in the United States. Pastor Bedros Hajian, he is the founder and head of the Armenian American Christian Outreach in Glendale, California. And I'm going to give you the address of that in a few minutes as well before we end our program today. Let me tell you a little bit about Bedros. I have met this man, and he is a heroic American. He's an Armenian American. And I want to tell you something about Armenians. Those who love Jesus are fierce Christians. That means they know their Bible and they know in whom they deposit their faith. This is true of Brother Bedros. He was so kind to have invited me several years ago to Glendale, California, and I was able to see firsthand what he was doing there, reaching people on the streets of Glendale, California, for the Lord Jesus. He goes into the jail. He takes prisoners' life. In fact, the man who sort of drove me around and made sure I got from place to place, and including the auditorium where a wonderful and lovely crowd of folks came out, was a man. And I said, "How do you know Brother Bedros?" Now, this was the driver who was taking me around. He said, "Would you like to know how I know Bedros?" And he was all excited. I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, let me tell you, I was once a gangster. I was no good. I was a filthy rat. And Bedros found me, and I was headed to prison. I was into drugs. I was a gangster. I was part of a gang." And he said, "My life got cleaned up, and Bedros introduced me to Jesus Christ. And everything changed." And I'll tell you, that it almost made me want to cry. I went down to Bedros's offices, in the very center of Glendale, the downtown area, in a place where you have to have bars on the windows because, you know, the homeless and the vandals break in and steal everything you got. And there they were, and I met a wonderful young man when I entered the office, and I asked him about his life. What are you doing here? And he said, "Well, I was an alcoholic, and Bedros found me. And now I'm helping him, you know, in the ministry." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Oh, yeah. Not only that, I'm working on my college degree. Very soon I'll have my college degree." I mean, here's a man he found homeless, an alcoholic, and he changed his life. Now, I'm telling you, friends, this is powerful because this is the gospel. But today I invited Bedros on because he is concerned about his home country of Armenia. I know he's an American today, but he still loves the people of Armenia, and he's worried about them. And I'm going to ask him about that and something that just happened recently. And as you know, I told you about that Armenian genocide that occurred when the Young Turks took over. They were crypto Jews, and they commenced the massacre of so many hundreds of thousands of Armenian Christians. Bedros, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you for inviting me, Brother Mark.
Well, I know you didn't ask me to make a commercial for the Armenian American Christian Outreach, but I'm going to, a little bit later on, I'm going to give people your address, and I hope people will be able to donate to your work there at your mission, because you're accomplishing so much. But right now, let me ask you this question. The Armenian genocide. I understand recently the current leaders of Armenia signed some kind of an agreement or paper with the leaders of the Muslim nation of Turkey, and you're very concerned about that. Tell us about that.
Yes, I am very concerned, and if you study the past, it's like history is repeating itself alone. In the past, back in 1800s, when the Armenian Revolution started to get our freedom from the Ottoman Empire, because we're the smallest Christian country, and we are the first nation who accepted Jesus Christ as a nation. We're the first Christian country in the world that acknowledged Jesus and as a state religion. And when we were being massacred by the Ottoman Turks at that time in 1800s, at the beginning of 1900, just because we were Armenian Christians and we did not want to change our religion into Muslim. 1908, the Young Turk Revolution started. They came to us. They said, harmony, liberty, and friendship. Our leaders were lied. They thought we are going to have peace when the Young Turk Revolution took over, and we weren't going to massacre anymore. Well, what I see right now, exactly the same story being repeated. The story, Pan-Turkism is taking over that part of the world, and they're becoming very, very strong. People are concerned about Iran. Iran is nothing with this. They are the mentality of it. So what happened in 1908, when the Young Turks took over the government after the revolution, they started spreading the nationalistic spirit. And years later, 1915, April 24th, the big massacre, the genocide of the Armenians started. They lied to our leaders based on friendship. They lied to our leaders that we are going to be friends. But whoever changed his religion was not massacred. But unfortunately, more than 1.5 million Armenians did not want to change their religion. They wanted to stay Christian because they loved Jesus Christ as every Christian does. They were thrown into the desert, Arabian desert. They were massacred. They were raped. They were burned. The babies were butchered because we did not want to change our religion. My worry today is the whole nations, Christian nations, they're sitting and waiting, and another massacre is about to happen on the Armenian Christians. It's like we are the front, of the war. And, my concern is, they signed the protocol of peace to open the borders. They have not acknowledged what they've done in the past. They killed more than 1.5 million Armenians. And now they're saying they want to give it into the hands of the historians to decide if the genocide happened. You know, I know many, many older people, 90s and 100s, who have seen what happened in 1915 all the way to 1923. They were witness. They grew up in the orphanages due to the fact of the genocide. And now we are going to sit down and decide if it happened, and U.S. government, Russia, everybody agrees with it. So once again, this is an attack against Christian entities, Christian people who wants justice, and nothing is being done. So my worry, second worry is we have Western Armenia, which belongs to us, to the Armenian people. It was God-given land to us. And now when you go, you will see our churches are destroyed. They're becoming to barns where they keep their farms. They've destroyed our churches. And they've, instead, next to it, they've built mosques. And they, and we're supposed to basically, say, nothing happened, it's okay, we're friends. You know, this is the exact picture of what can happen to Christians in the United States if we don't wake up. The same genocide can happen to the Christians in the United States.
Bedros, this is very important, and I want people to understand this. Here is a small nation, an enclave of Christians, Armenians, correct?
Right.
But they are basically almost surrounded by Muslims from Turkey. So this huge nation of Muslims, they're in Turkey. And then in the early 1900s, these Turks, who actually were Turkish Jews, took over the government. They were communist revolutionaries. They took over the government. They were Jews, but they claimed to be Turkish, but literally were Freemasons from the secret society of Freemasonry, and which is basically a Jewish Luciferian secret society, the Masons. And once they had control of the great Ottoman Empire, and Turkey was in their hands under their control, then they determined, through this hatred evidently of Jesus Christ, because they were Jews and they were in charge of a country of Muslims, they determined that they were going to destroy the few Christians that were in this country of Armenia, because they so hated you. You were like, evidently, like a thorn in their side. Your very existence as a nation was an offense to them because they were satanic. And so the Jews that were in charge, the Young Turks, they call them, communists, Jews, Masons, Turks, they determined to destroy Armenia. And in fact, there was a great genocide. There is no question about it. There's no turning it over to historians. The British consul at the time himself said, he wrote, sent a message back to London, to his government. He said, I have seen so many hands cut off of Armenians. They've cut off their hands and massacred so many that if you could lay the hands side by side, it would be a highway extending hundreds of miles of severed hands. And the American ambassador sent back a message to Washington, D.C. and to New York, and he talked of seeing in one place a pit of over 10,000 massacred Armenians. And people talked about the smell. They were burning huge piles and mounds of bodies of Armenian Christians that the Jewish Muslim Turks had massacred. And they said the smell of human flesh was sickening and revolting. And this is all true. And now neither Israel, the Jews, nor Turkey will admit the great crime that they committed. And yet they are demanding, they demanded that Armenia, this small little nation, I mean, how many people are in Armenia? Just, what, 4, 5, 6 million?
It's about 2.5 million right now.
And Turkey, of course, has probably 80, 90 million.
Absolutely.
And so it's almost like a threat. Sign a peace treaty with us. But you mentioned the fact, Bedros, that back in 1910, 1912 or so, the Armenian people said, yes, we will sign a pact. We want to have peace. We want to have coexistence. But it all ended tragically with horror. And, you know, maybe you're right, Bedros, because there we have 4.5 million Armenians in the midst of this great mass of Muslims. And I believe even today Turkey is run by secretly by Jews. And they are about to do it again to Armenia. But, you know, maybe in all of the United States of America, there are 300 million. But I doubt, Bedros, that there are any more than 4.5 million Christians in America. What's to stop them from rounding up the 4.5 million Christians in America and putting us in concentration camps and cutting off our hands and raping our women and children and molesting them and burning our flesh? What is to stop them if we don't stand up to this?
You know, the Word of God says specifically, greater is the Spirit that is in us than the one in the world.
Mm.
We are led by the Holy Spirit, and we will overcome. We will win this war.
Amen.
Either spiritual or physical, we will win because Christ is on our side. We will never let down our guards. We are Christians first and then Armenians second. Third, we're Americans because we live in the United States. We're grateful for the United States taking us in.
Okay, wait just a minute. You said something so powerful. We are Christians first. Yes, you're Americans. Yes, you love Armenia, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, but something is powerful here. I see here we have a message of truth, and we have what we know, Bedros, you and I, as the promise of God. The promise of God, that He would be our protector. But the important thing to me is, Bedros, you have the courage to come on this radio program and tell the truth. What is there in you that drives you to tell the truth? What is compelling for you?
What gives me the encouragement and the power is the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Holy Spirit that lives in me and gives me the power to tell the truth, because what can they do? Destroy my flesh, but they cannot destroy my spirit because it belongs to God. I would like to also remind everyone, the genocide of the Armenians was decided in the Grand Orient Lodge of Freemasonry in Salonika.
Mm.
They are most evil people in this world. They are Luciferian Satanism, and Satan likes blood. He loves to kill people. And, you know, also one thing. Today there are about 3 to 4 million Armenians living in Turkey who speak Armenian, but they're Muslims. What does that tell me? That tells everybody, whoever became Muslim, denied their religion, they were not killed. So there's a big community of Armenians in Turkey who are Muslims. Now they're waking up, and hopefully they become Christians. I would rather die for Christ than change my religion, change my faith. I don't even call it a religion because it's a way of life. It's my love. It's my direction. Christ is life. He's the only God that was resurrected, and only God that lives in this in the whole universe. And
amen.
I would rather follow Him and die for Him than change my religion, change my faith, and then live in this earth peacefully 80 years and then die and go to hell.
Yep.
I choose to live for Christ, and I choose to serve my people, Armenians.
Amen.
That's the love of Christ enforces me to do this.
Now, folks, you've been listening to Bedros Hajian. He is the director. He is the head of the Armenian American Christian Outreach. Let me give you their address. Some of you may want to donate, because I can tell you this is a real Christian ministry. This is one that preaches the Word of God, and sometimes Bedros gets in trouble for doing it. You know, they don't want you to go in those jails and change people's life. And he brings the Bible in, and you know, they just want you to go in and do nice humanitarian acts. And Bedros does that too. He feeds the homeless, but most of all, he feeds them the gospel, which is eternal. His address is the Armenian American Christian Outreach, 919 East Broadway, Glendale, that's all one word, G-L-E-N, like the man's name, and D-A-L-E. Like the man's name, Glendale, California, and the zip code is 91205. You may want to start giving to this ministry, or even a one-time gift to the Armenian American Christian Outreach, 919 East Broadway, Glendale, California, 91205. Now, Bedros did not know that I was going to give out his address when I invite him to come on this program. I just ask him to come on to talk about the the newest development there in Armenia, but I endorse this ministry because I've been there and I see the Spirit of God at work in the life of Bedros. And I want to say something. I've met his precious wife and his children. He is bringing them up in the admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a strong Christian family. And please pray for Bedros that he will continue to exercise the faith of Jesus. Bedros, you're my great friend, and thank you for being on our program today.
Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, and give my best to your staff there, would you?
Thank you. I will, for sure.
All right, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We continue now with some secrets. This is a special item of great interest to me, and it really breaks my heart. Adam Brickley on CNS News, October 15, 2009, reports, quote, Mexicans say Mexican-Americans owe loyalty to Mexico over the United States. In a survey, it says nearly 70% of Mexicans surveyed said that Mexican-Americans, including those born in the United States, owe their primary loyalty to Mexico, not the USA. This was according to a Zogby poll commissioned by a group called the Center for Immigration Studies. Wow. Primary loyalty of Mexican Americans is to Mexico? Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? Friends, we used to be the melting pot, but the pot's boiled over now, friends. Here's another item for you. Frosty Woolridge writes on rents.com, R-E-N-S-C.com, a website I recommend. He wrote an article recently that I totally agree with. Listen to the title of this article. America is filling up with dumb people. Why? Because of illegal immigrants. America is becoming dumber and dumber. And illiteracy leads to shoplifting, babies, illegitimate babies, crime, gangs. And this is transforming the American dream into the American tragedy, writes Mr. Woolridge. He notes that with all the influx, the invasion of illegal immigrants, that the illiteracy rate is climbing. Did you know that Hispanics in America, their high school dropout rate is five times what white Americans is? Five times what white Americans is. And not only that, but we have other problems. These are not immigrants, but did you know that at Paul Robeson High School in Chicago, Illinois, recently it was reported, this is mostly a black school, African Americans, 115 young girls are pregnant all at the same time in one high school, 115 girls pregnant in one high school? Getting dumber and dumber in America. Our morals are sagging. It's amazing, isn't it? The American dream, now the American tragedy, a nightmare. Things have changed, but not for the better. You have big screen TVs, but hearts have no light. They're black. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've had a volume of secrets, volume 159, and it's my prayer that you'll tune in each week during the same time on the same shortwave frequency or here on the internet and discover the power of prophecy.